This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
2 days from the draft, Washington will be on the clock at 29 overall. Will they stay there? Who knows? Nikki Javala covers the team and does a great job of covering the team for the Washington Post. At Nikki Javala, J-H-A-B-V-A-L-A on X on Twitter. She's just written a story titled Commander's Draft Guide, Positions of Need, Prospects to Watch on Offense. Actually, that was from a few days ago, but read it at the Washington Post, and you can link to it on Nikki's X page. All right, so let's cut to the chase. Right now, it feels like, you know, all of these conversations center in on 29 and then a bunch of names, which keep getting regurgitated, but I have a feeling you've got some different names. But A, do they stay there and take a player or not? B, give me your best guess here 2 days before on who they take before we get to the list of players that it'll come from.
Okay. So I mean, ideally, I don't know if they will or not, obviously, but in perfect world for me, I'd like to see them trade back. They only have 5 picks coming into this draft, pick up another selection and trade back, you know, maybe 5 or 6 spots to a team that needs a quarterback, like Giants, Browns, Saints, maybe. You know, that's, you got to have a trading partner to make that happen. So I don't know that it's feasible. And this is one of those drafts where, you know, it's generally perceived as weaker than most years. So I don't know that there'll be a ton of teams, you know, clamoring to move up, but we'll see. But that would be my preference. Now, if they stay at 29, I mean, I think they could have a number of options available to them. I would be surprised if they take a running back, a receiver in the first round. Just going back through all of Adam Peters' drafts, there's obviously only one with him as GM here. But dating back to when he was an executive in personnel with the Broncos to the 49ers, you know, they've generally stuck to trading or defensive guys, premium positions. And I could see them still doing that here. So, you know, an edge rusher, corner, I could see them taking a tackle. If there's one they really like, I don't know that there will be at 29. But either of those, they even a linebacker, that kid from UCLA, a walk-on. And you know who else was a walk-on at UCLA? Adam Peters. So, yeah, I think there's a number of
I didn't know that. There. He was a walk-on at UCLA?
Yeah, I think he walked on as a defensive end and then realized he didn't have, you know, a future beyond that and turned to scouting and, yeah.
All right, so give me the name right now that you're going to put out there before
the name,
Thursday.
I'm saying this with the hope of making it true. I don't think he'll be available, but I'm going to say Michael Williams. I'm going to hope he's there.
Right. Okay. You know, in talking about, you know, I had John on the podcast last night, and he kind of focused in on offensive line as well. Like, I've been saying, they're not going to take a quarterback and they're not going to take a pure left tackle. I don't even know if there's a such a thing as a pure left tackle anymore, because it seems there's so much versatility between tackles, both sides, and even tackles and guards. But if they were to take an offensive lineman, you know, a Josh Simmons from Ohio State, you know, a Connerly from Oregon, would it just be an admission, we got to get bigger and stronger in the trenches to compete with Philadelphia?
Yes, and I think that would be the right approach. I mean, I honestly feel like it's nice to see this team really, truly invest in the offensive line. I've said it repeatedly. I don't know why more teams don't. I realize there are varying factors at play for every team, but I feel like offensive line, behind quarterback and backup quarterback, that's the third most important position. And the good ones are the teams that win. And look at Philly, you know. I mean, they're loaded at every spot, but they've had one of the best offensive lines for years. So I think that would be the right approach, especially if they want to build up the run game. I feel like their numbers in the run game last year were deceiving a little bit, because it was mostly Jaden Daniels. So I think that would be the right approach. I would, and this is one of those drafts that caters to building the trenches. I think they had an extraordinary first year under Dan Quinn. A lot of that credit goes to Jaden. A lot of it goes to Dan and Adam Peters. But, you know, there's still a lot of holes on this team that they got to fill in. The offensive line is not complete by any stretch.
No, you know, it's interesting, too, because 2 years ago, Tunsil, Allegretti, Biotish, Wiley, Coleman weren't on the team. So they've actually added a lot of bodies, and they've invested in a lot of bodies. Obviously, the biggest investment being in Laremy Tunsil. But I could see it continue, too, because their number one prized possession is their quarterback. And like you said, I doubt they want to see him lead the team in rushing in 10 games again next year.
No, definitely not.
Which leads to, and I agree with you too, I don't see a running back or a wide receiver at 29. But if you were to, I'll ask you first, give me the position that you'd be surprised they don't take anywhere in the draft.
Corner. If they don't take a corner, I would be surprised. And that could very well happen, but, you know, I just feel like there's, you know, they have enough people there to field a full secondary, but I just don't know if they have enough. I hate saying this, is because we haven't seen them work together. Maybe they're a very solid team together, but I don't know that they have enough talent back there in the secondary. And they need a solid defensive one, especially to keep up with, like you said, the Eagles, who had the best defense in football last season. Marshon Lattimore is still a question mark. I mean, you hope he can return to something close to what he was a couple of years ago. Hopefully he's healthy. But there's no clear person at outside corner opposite him. You know, Mikey Sanders still was there. They initially envisioned him as, you know, a slot guy. Do they want to move him back in the slot? Do they want to keep him outside? The guys they got in the secondary, both safety and corner, are very versatile, very athletic guys, but are they true starters? Can you see them as, you know, every down guys? I would be surprised if they don't take one, and don't take one early, because I don't know that this draft is deep enough where you can find a ton of, like, clear starters late in the draft. But every year it does happen where there are gems late. So,
and does Adam your Peters answer have guys, yeah. any? Does your answer have anything to do with how you feel they may feel about Marshon Lattimore?
No, because I think they're optimistic about Marshon Lattimore. I mean, they certainly didn't like how things started for him or for them. But I think there's still optimism that it can work. The beauty of that deal, and it's similar to, you know, Debo and others, is it was a fairly low-risk trade. I mean, they gave up a third for a potential Pro Bowl corner. I mean, he is a Pro Bowl corner, but potentially another Pro Bowl corner who is experienced. And you have him for a year and a half, basically, and you can cut ties. if it doesn't work out. So it's fairly low risk. I haven't got the sense that they're down on him. I think they're fairly optimistic that he can bounce back after a full off season, getting healthy and really, you know, starting again from the start, you know what I mean? And not jumping in midseason.
Yeah, that's interesting that you said it that way. Like, I look at Deebo Samuel and I say that's a true low-risk deal, right? It's a fifth rounder for a guy with a lot of talent they're familiar with. Marshawn Lattimore, you did give up three picks for in the middle of a season. I know that you got one pick back. I think it was a fifth or a sixth rounder.
It's mostly pick swap, and you gave up a mid-round.
There's like, yeah, it was basically like a third and a fourth, essentially, right, what they gave up for him. But when they did it, they did it when they were 7-2 or 7-3 or whatever they were. And I think that's when maybe the mindset started to change a little bit. They didn't do it just in hopes that, you know, maybe he'd be great. I think they expected him to be Marshawn Lattimore. And that's what I'm trying to get at, because I don't know the answer. Have they changed their view on whether or not they're going to get the best of Marshawn Lattimore? Or maybe not change their view. Is there any concern about it?
I mean, maybe. I'm not in the meetings with them, but I mean, I think we'll know more once we see him on the field a little bit in OTAs and training camp. But, you know, either way, whether he comes back a Pro Bowler or not, I still think you need to draft a corner and high.
Yeah, and when you said corner, I mean, when you think about it, like, edge rusher would be, to me, like, I'd be surprised if they don't end up with a D-end, you know, edge pass rusher or edge run stopper somewhere. But the first answer that came to my mind when I was asked this the other day on a show was running back. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to take a running back in this draft. Not at 29.
Too.
I don't think they should take a running back at 29. But do you think they'll take a running back? And if so, why?
Yes, because I mean, first off, the four running backs that they have, the top four running backs, Brian Robinson, Austin Ekeler, Jeremy McNichols, Chris Rodriguez, they're all going to be free agents next year if they all make the roster this season. And the running backs, I mean, they kind of went dead late in the season. I mean, it was all Jaden Daniels. I mean, he was not only leading the running backs, he was the rushing game at the end of the season. And this is when they're pushing for the number six seed. So I think they need more out of Brian Robinson. Austin Eckler's been dealing with injury issues. Jeremy McNichols has been solid, but he's more of like a third down back. Chris Rodriguez, I still think there's something there. If a team develops and utilizes him more, I think he's a solid player if he can get more time on the field. But they need more there. That's simple truth.
Yeah, and it's a draft with a bunch of guys that could be, you know, contributors on NFL teams.
Yep.
And, you know, overall, they still need more playmaking ability. They need more team speed, I think, overall. We're talking, of course, to Nikki Javala. Did they do enough during this offseason, you know, and maybe they would have gone for Myles Garrett. Maybe they're still interested in Trey Hendrickson, so maybe it's not over yet. But have they done enough, Nikki, to put themselves into position to just truly do what they did last year in the second round, which is take the best player available?
I'm going to give you the answer you won't like. I don't know. Because I don't know what this defense looks like with these pieces. I wasn't terribly sold on Javon Kinlaw, 3 years, $45 million. That one was sort of a head scratcher to me. I know Adam Peters is close with them. I understand the ties. I understand the optimism of getting him to play at his best. But he's been at multiple teams, and the production hasn't quite met the potential at either stop. So I'm a little bit miffed there. I thought they would take another, start a quality edge in free agency. I know they got Dietrich Wise, I think is a fine player, but not sort of that flashy edge rusher that, you know, most would kind of like a Trey Hendrickson. So, I mean, other than that, I really like the Tunsil trade. I like that they went big there. I'm okay with Deebo if Deebo plays like he did 3 years ago. The problem is Debo's had one really quality season and not much since. but hopefully he can get back there. That's a hope for everybody, I believe. But yeah, otherwise, yeah, I mean, they had so many of their own free agents too, that sure. It was a lot to sort out. I was kind of surprised that they re-signed some of the guys they did, like, but I read it as purely camp competition. If they really show out and make a roster, great. If not, then
who were you surprised that they re-signed of their own free agents?
Some of the lower, like Trent Scott, Michael Dieter. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, they leapfrogged Michael Dieter when, you know, they were down a guard. They moved Trent Scott inside, so I didn't quite understand that. But again, they've preached competition how many times? So bringing in guys that can compete.
Was there anybody of theirs last year that they didn't re-sign that surprised you? A Diami, a Zacchaeus?
Zacchaeus probably.
Yeah,
Jeremy Chin, I thought, could go either way. I mean, I thought he would have a pretty good market. And it was up to the team and Jeremy, really, on where he wanted to be. But Zacchaeus, I thought he was a good fit here. I know they really liked him. That one I was a little surprised at. Diami, no. I thought he would go elsewhere. I knew they would part with Jonathan Allen. I don't think there were many others.
I mean, Chin and Zacchaeus were the two for me. I think what happens every year, and I'm at fault for this too, is we focus on, the needs and the draft, and we forget about last year's draft and just assume that if they didn't perform in their rookie season, that they're not going to be any good, which just isn't true. So last year, obviously Jaden and Sanra still, of their draft choices, were the biggest producers, and Newton played a bunch too. Of, the Sinnott's, the McCaffreys, the Jordan McGee's, Hampton, John Baptiste, is there a player or more than one that you believe they have high expectations of kind of breaking out in year two?
I'd say McGee. I think Sinnott is partially dependent on can he get more touches. I also don't know that they view him as sort of the future of that group, but maybe that could change if he really shows out. And McCaffrey still seems pretty raw at receiver. But McGee, I mean, he played only 16 defensive snaps. And, they have Frankie Louisville back. They have Bobby Wagner back. They have virtually nobody behind those two. And Bobby Wagner's on a one-year deal. He's at that age where you just don't know how much longer does he want to play. He's still playing at a high level, but how much longer does he want to play beyond that? But they literally have no reserves. Their only linebackers on the roster currently, I believe, are Nick Ballore, a 35-year-old special teams ace, who's very good at special teams, but I don't know that he's somebody you want, spelling Bobby Wagner, and Jordan McGee, who played 16 defensive snaps. He dealt with injuries at the start of his rookie season, built like a house. I mean, he's somebody I think they hope can take that leap. I mean, he's a good kid. You hope he can, really prove himself in camp. But that would be the one, just because I think there's a need there, there's a spot there, and they liked him. They really liked him in the draft.
Yeah. You said something that I almost have to remind myself each year of it, because we get so wrapped up into this draft. Now, last year, for good reason, obviously, it mm-hmm. was, are you going to get the right guy at quarterback mm-hmm. that's going to change your franchise? But most years, especially if you're picking towards the back of the draft and you only have five picks, the team that you have right now, barring a Trey Hendrickson trade or something like that, is pretty much the team you're going to have. I mean, there's other veterans that will get released. I mean, the roster will mm-hmm. change. And when you said, and I tend to agree with you, especially defensively, I don't know what to make of whether or not they got better defensively with what they mm-hmm. have. Mm-hmm. And if they're not better defensively than they were last year, and the schedule on paper comes to fruition, meaning it's much tougher than it was last year, it's going to be another rely on the quarterback to bail you out week in and week out season. It could be that.
And they face some tough quarterbacks.
I mean,
looking their home and away opponent. So, it could be very tough. I think that was you know, a big reason they added size to the defensive line. But, you know, again, it's, you can have an all-star cast, but if they can't play well together, what's the point? I mean, they had four first-round picks on the defensive line. It was not once did that group ever play to its potential together. I think it was always, you know, they looked really good when it was just three of them, you know?
I don't know
how this defense is going to look. There's enough new pieces where I think they're a bit of a mystery. We know how the middle guys play. We know how some of the cornerbacks play. We know about Kwon, but the interior defense, as far as I'm concerned, is brand new when you take Jonathan Allen out. And I know he was out for, what, eight games last year? But, you know, they're changing that front, so.
Yeah. You know, that's funny because Sweat, Chase, Duron, John, right? Four first round picks, and everybody's we're gonna be set up front for years. The best they played when they were all together was the COVID year, when Chase was defensive rookie of the year. I think everybody was healthy, and they were actually down the stretch that year, legitimately good on defense. And then that was it. That was basically it. For that.
They were just statistically. I don't know if they would have held up against tougher opponents, but yes, I don't want to say they would have.
They played really well against Pittsburgh. I remember that on like a Wednesday afternoon at 3 o'clock or something like that back in those days. All right. Last one. Give me a play, like you mentioned Mikel Williams. Love that player. Give me the shocker. Like, you would be absolutely surprised. You said running back, wide receiver, but give me a player's name that they end up selecting at 29.
And I would be shocked by the position or the player? Or
the player. The player and the position. Either one.
I mean, honestly, it could be so many because I don't... I would say Mike Green or James Pierce. They need an edge rusher. They're two very good edge rushers, but there's more to their stories.
Yes.
That I think may raise red flags, and especially given all the Commanders have talked about of finding the right guys and finding true Commanders. And I know every team says this. We want to find the right guys, blah, blah, blah. But they really hammered it home. So if they go out and draft somebody who is a very, very fine football player, but has maybe some questionable things in their personal life or off field, then it'll start to make you question, you know, what are they really doing here? What is the team really trying to build here? And is that, you know, are they full of it? And I don't know that they want to take that on, especially, you know, given the team's, you know, history over the last decade or so. So those would probably surprise me, but...
Totally agree, especially, look, Green, I think, is just a better player in general. I had three players that I'd be shocked if they took that I listed on Friday, and Pierce was number one on my list for all the reasons that people have mentioned. They want guys who love football and are going to be competing every day. They want grinders. They love them. All right, great job as always.
Who are the other two on your list?
I said Luther Burden, who I love as a player, but he reminds me of Dotson because he takes plays off. He doesn't play plays to the end when it doesn't get called for him. And I'd be surprised if they took Hampton, a running back. I think Genty's the only running back worth taking in the first round, because I think if you take a running back, you got to feel like that running back could end up being Saquon Barkley or Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, somebody like that.
Yeah.
Those were the
three. I'm with you.
But the Green thing, I don't even, if he's falling to them, then everybody found out what they needed to find out, which was steer clear, because that dude's legit talented. So is Pierce. But yeah, those were the three I mentioned.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm with you.
Everything well?
All good here.
All right, I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for doing this, as always.
Of course.
Nikki Jhabvala, everybody. Joe Beninati, if you missed him in the first hour, we'll play some of that back for you next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team 980.com.